Are there or are there not someone, even though I moved away after high school for about 10, 12 years and came back, but before I left and when I came back, argument still ensues. Yes, we have bobcats, we have fisher cats, we have lots of other interesting wildlife out there. And there's probably 65% of us to 70% of us know in our hearts the mountain lion has returned, and we keep being told no by the state. Well, there's a presentation coming up, and we've got Tim Abbott to talk about that this morning. Tim, nice to speak to you this morning.
Very good speaking with you as well.
So there's always been a matter of disbelief in this area since I was a kid to now that the state just erred in saying that the mountain lion isn't in our area. First of all, what's the program's name and when is it coming up and where is it going to be?
Sure. This program is tomorrow night at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School. The name of it is The Mountain Lion Returns to the East. So we're going to get down to that question. And it features a very renowned naturalist and animal tracker, Sue Morse, who's coming down to discuss all aspects of mountain lion biology and its presence where we suspect it may be and what its future might look like.
You know, it's interesting. When that mountain lion was killed off the park, spotted, and they didn't believe it, but then it was really spotted and then hit by a car and killed in southern Connecticut.
Yep.
What was that, two or three years ago?
It was actually, believe it or not, 2011, although it feels like that was much more recently. And that animal had traveled, it turns out, a tremendous distance, South Dakota. It was a three-year-old mountain lion, and it left evidence in its DNA, scat, fur, along the path it followed in four other states, and is typed to animals in the Black Hills.
Okay, so that to most people that seemed like an amazing journey. Is that an amazing journey for a mountain lion?
It is, except it's also not an impossible journey for a mountain lion. This animal has the largest range of any terrestrial mammal in the Western Hemisphere except us. They have them in Argentina, and they have them in British Columbia. And the Panama Canal might keep those two populations apart, but historically that's the distance covered by this species. Its home range, you know, you wouldn't necessarily find that animal traveling the whole length of it, but it's the same puma con color that occurs there.
All right, so now what's the thought about, you know, like Northwest Connecticut? I remember when years ago my mother spotted a large moose, and I'm talking when I say years ago,
sure,
15, 20 years ago, and she was told no, until one day she got a picture of it, and the thing was huge. We've been told, of course, the bear population has exploded in this area, and we know we have we know we have bobcats and fisher cats and stuff, but really some people, and I'm one of them, I just agree that there's it's not a huge population, but I believe that they're back here.
We certainly have the habitat, and that's a piece of the story that you alluded to. 100 years ago, you'd have to look hard to find a white-tailed deer in New England, and now they are at or near their pre-European settlement level. Same with beaver. They were trapped out for over a century. They were reintroduced after World War II, and we do not consider them uncommon. What we're missing are apex predators in any large numbers. We do not have timber wolves. What we have is eastern coyotes, which are taking some of their place. And we probably do have room for, and perhaps I'm in the camp that feels like if they're not here in reproducing numbers, it is only a matter of time. Room for the mountain lion.
I'm just speaking as a plain ignorant citizen, but I'm gonna say we have everything that's here for them. There's the overgrowth, there's the mountains, there's the isolation, but also there's the food source for them with all the deer.
There absolutely is. White-tailed deer is their primary source of food, although they eat other deer species as well in the West. But they can eat rabbits, they can eat other things, they can eat house cats. It will not necessarily be comfortable for us when there are mountain lions established in larger numbers. You alluded earlier, though, Marshall, to one of the the things that we often have been arguing over, which is why it's not been confirmed by state or federal officials, and that comes down to the Endangered Species Act. Prior to last year, all mountain lions east of the Mississippi were considered the endangered subspecies of the eastern mountain lion, and that meant that their habitat, 50,000 acres for a single animal, would have to be treated as endangered species habitat. Nobody wanted to do that. They hadn't seen an eastern mountain lion that they could confirm was from that subspecies since one was trapped in Maine 80 or 85 years ago outside of Florida. So the Florida panther still is on the endangered species list, but the eastern mountain lion has been declared extinct. They are the same animal as the mountain lions that are in the West. They are genetically a little different because their populations might have had some slight changes over time, but they can reproduce with each other. But that sort of changed the resistance, in my opinion, to confirming a presence here. Whether they're reproducing in any large numbers, then I think we would have seen more evidence. But that one cat that was seen in southern Connecticut that came that long distance, is evidence that they can and will.
All right, and your feeling is that it's not too long before, like the bears, I'm not going to say they're going to explode here, but that people will see mountain lions that are roaming around.
I certainly expect that. And, of course, that comes with some complications.
Oh, yeah.
We don't yet know how to live with bears. we'll have to, in that situation, have to figure out. Here's an example. People who love mountain biking and trail running in the wilderness might need to think a little bit about how much they look like prey if we had a larger population of mountain lions here. That's been a factor in some of the rare, but nonetheless do happen, cougar attacks that have happened in the West.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're speaking with Tim Abbott and what it is, the mountain lion presentation, which is coming up on Friday at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. What time does it start again?
Starts at 7, free to the public, and sponsored by a number of local and regional conservation groups.
I think, you see videos on the Internet of people that have approached mountain lions when they've been hiking, and instead of turning around and going away, they've tried to walk by. And I've just always said to myself, I remember seeing one video where the mountain lion was on a slope about 5 or 6 feet higher than they were.
Mm.
And these people just stood there videoing probably about 15, 20 feet away, not realizing that one spring and these are really, really they're not afraid to attack humans if they're hungry.
They're ambush predators.
Yeah.
That behavior that you were describing is how they ultimately size up and consider whether they're looking at prey or not. Fast moving, low to the ground, that's going to trigger a response. But again, we don't have the experiences of not being dominant, right? Very few of us have walked in a savanna and around, lions and other things and suddenly realized, we're not the top dog. It'll be a long time before we see a population, if it ever grows to the size where that's a major factor here, because we may not tolerate it.
Well, I think that anybody who has talked about or thought about or taken a look on the Internet at mountain lions, this event at Housatonic Valley Regional High School on mountain lions, I think is a must-see.
I think it's going to be fascinating. Sue has so much more experience on this topic and a lot to share on the biology of the cat, why they're here, that large wildlife corridor that runs from the lower Hudson Valley to Canada through here, because of our forests, because of the habitat that's here, serves many animals and may indeed serve the mountain lion.
Well, Tim, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us, and I know you'll be there.
I absolutely will. Hope to see you as well. Thank you for sharing this with your listeners.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So that is at Housatonic Valley Regional High School in Falls Village, Connecticut, and it is a Friday night. And it is absolutely free, and we'll have this posted up on our Facebook page in a matter of minutes, with all the information that goes with it. But sounds like a terrific program on mountain lions at Housatonic on Friday night.